Thank you so much for checking out this week's edition of Skip the Tutorial. I wanted to first start this by saying RIP to the one, the only, Total Biscuit. Unfortunately, the gaming community has lost a great voice in video game criticism and entertainment in Total Biscuit, who was only 33 years old. Without his startup, without his gumption to take video game criticism to a new level by bringing the independent voice of the people and the consumer to a forefront, we wouldn't be able to do what we do here today at Skip the Tutorial. Also, in addition, this week we wanted to let everybody know that right now Skip the Tutorial t-shirts are available at TeePublic. So if you want to get there, the best way to do it is go to our Twitter at @stt_pod or our Facebook at facebook.com/skipthetutorialpod, and it's pinned to the very top page. Now, here's the great deal about this. If you click that link there and you go through TeePublic, any shirt you buy goes to help support us. We wouldn't be here without you guys. And we want to continue to provide hours of entertainment on a weekly basis. So if you could do us a favor, go there, check out what they got. I personally use TeePublic. I love it. Those guys are fantastic. They have monthly sales, 30% off. It's just a wonderful, wonderful website. Well, thank you so much for joining us this week. And now, on to the show.
7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
You'll never have the sacred stone.
Oh, this you crazy mother...
Welcome to this week's edition of Skip the Tutorial, the number one video game podcast in the Mushroom Kingdom. I am one of your hosts this week, Bryant ODB Daniels. And joining me across the universe on Skype is your other host, Todd Chance Fortner. What's going on, man?
Oh, man, another beautiful day in the neighborhood, brother.
Yes, sir. Another beautiful day in the neighborhood. Speaking of that, man, did you see that trailer for the Mr. Rogers documentary coming out?
Nah, man. But, I mean, he was pretty cool. That's why I say that sometimes. Mr. Rogers, they sleep on him. He was pretty cool, bro. He was a military cat. You know what I'm saying? Just worrying about the kids, man. And all that extra shit, you know.
That thing looks so good, man. I'm a big fan of Mr. Rogers and everything he represented. And, you know, that is something that we sorely need today is another Mr. Rogers to come back. Let's make a Mr. Rogers video game, an open world Grand Theft Auto style. That's all I'm saying.
That would be so crazy. What if you, like, if he was just, the boss would be to kill Pee Wee Herman.
You masturbated in a theater. You don't represent my ideals.
At least you got caught. That's the thing, man. Just don't get caught. I'm sure LeBron James has fucked some white lady in the ass in Colorado. He just didn't get caught like Kobe. You know what I'm saying? I'm sure it happened. I'm positive, but it's just about, come on, man. Don't be smart enough not to get caught. Maybe I went too far with that one, but this is public information. Not that LeBron fucked somebody in a female in the ass, but I'm just sure, like, if he did, at least he didn't get caught.
There you go. And then go see. Yeah, we're not saying it happened. We're just saying at least he didn't get caught. If it did happen.
Kobe Bryant, even though I respect him as a Hall of Famer all the time, is just one thing I could never co-sign on, him getting caught having sex with a woman with the sodomy. And I couldn't.
Yeah.
This went left. But I mean, we talk about simulation games all the time, so I apologize. We're going to have to cut that one.
We went from Mr. Rogers to sodomy. It was a perfect transition.
That's how people listen, man.
That's exactly it. So if you don't know who we are, we're a video game show. Usually we get together and we talk about the video games we've been playing. We talk about the news. We give you a roundtable. We break down. Sometimes we do a mini-sode. This week is a mini-sode. Todd, mini-sodes are top sevens. What is our top seven this week?
I don't even know how to feel about telling people the top seven this week after what I just finished talking about with Heat. All right, top seven this week is video game heroes / protagonists.
Yeah, we've done villains.
Now
we're time to do some heroes.
What's your hero?
We're going to do the heroes, man. We're going to talk about our favorite heroes of all time in video games. It's people that, in my mind, it's a character that you can really connect with. You may not share the same world, you may not be from the same universe at all, but there's something about that character that you recognize as perfectly human, if you will, and perfectly relatable. Those are the best video game characters. Not surprisingly, all these video game characters come from great single-player story games, not from multiplayer-only games. Just saying.
Good shit.
At least for me. At least for me. I don't know anybody whose favorite hero of a game is themselves in Battlefield 4. I do love Battlefield 4, though. It's
dope.
It's a great game. It's a very good game. But that's what we're talking about this week. So, Todd, why don't you get us started, my friend? What is your number 7?
You know, man, I had to put him on this list just for facts because I fucks with it. Because I also have been referencing him doing speed a lot and almost as if he's not a hero, okay? But Sonic is a hero.
Sonic's a hero.
He freed the birds. He freed the animals. That's what he does. He frees the birds. He frees the animals, man. So, like, yeah, Sonic, that he made it on my list. I've referenced it. We've talked about it. I will talk about it again. I've had too many hours in my life with the original Sonic, not all the shitty games that they put out, you know, where I just enjoyed playing as him, man. It was just something about Sonic that resonated with that Sega version of that staple Mario character. I actually feel like we talked about this already. Like, Sonic's still a hero, even though he might be a drug addict. We talked about this. Like, it's the duality, man, of it. He feels more of a hero than Mario to me. And I know that might make somebody's, you know, that might chap somebody's ass a little bit. They might be upset about it. But, yeah, man, Sonic was my dude, bro. So, to enter into the list, we're going to do it real kind and smooth with Sonic the Hedgehog.
My thing about Mario, and I'm going to put this out there, Mario is an asshole. And here's why. Here's why. Number one, Peach keeps getting taken. How do you know she's not just trying to run away? How do you know?
Bro, that's what there it is, man. She left you, bro. She left you, man. She left you. You can't be mad at King Koopa, my dude. Be mad at her. She chose him, bro.
Exactly. Exactly. Come on, man. And then he's crazy, like rolling around the Mushroom Kingdom, and he's just like, these Goombas are walking around in these turtles. They're not doing nothing. They're not trying to really stop. They're just walking their path, and you just jump on their head and kill them.
Just murdering motherfuckers, man. Even in the new one, in Odyssey. What happens, spoiler alert, if you hadn't played, it's been over a year. What happens at the end, or the almost end? Where the fuck does Princess Peach go? She runs off again. Moral to the story, fellas. Don't chase the pussy. But anyway.
Last point about Mario, too. He always sacrifices Yoshi to make bigger jumps. Always.
That's it. And that's real style, man. Animal cruelty. And then Luigi.
Yeah, Luigi. He pushes Luigi to the background. That's why Luigi always gets his revenge in Mario Kart. He says, nah, man, I got this. I'm Luigi. And Luigi's had the better games. I'm sorry. I love Luigi Mansion. Those are two of my favorite games of all time. They got another one coming out for the Switch.
Somebody's going to be real pissed off that we shitting on Mario right now. We love Mario too, man. We do love Mario. We had to make this point. He might end up on the villain list or the anti-hero. I don't know. He's more of a Venom. But
Mario is Venom. Oh my God, that'd be beautiful. He wouldn't dance though. He wouldn't pull that Spider-Man and dance. Nobody's gonna do that. Come on, nobody does that. Shit. In the right mind. My number 7 is Gordon Freeman, the silent protagonist from the Half-Life series. Such a good. It's just, you get enough about your background in those games from other people and from documents to understand your character completely. And the fact that you just roll through and you're a scientist and you're a physicist and you've got to stop the alien invasion. So the best way to do it, a freaking crowbar. How cool is that? A crowbar. You cannot beat that, man. I love when games do that. I loved when Bioshock, the first one, gave you the wrench and just beating the crap out of aliens with a crowbar. But you get enough to understand who you are, what your connection is to Black Mesa, what your connection is to this world, these aliens, these parallel universes, and it comes up to you to make that story work. And it's your interactions on a regular basis with everybody else in the Half-Life series. Gordon Freeman, one of my favorite protagonists of all time. I couldn't make this list without putting him on there. What is your number 6?
That sounds great too, and I really hate that I missed the Half-Life. Not to jump too far back. Didn't the same people that created Half-Life, don't they run Steam?
Is that Yeah. Valve, they own Steam. Yes. So speaking of that, you've got a PC now. You can buy the first Half-Life for like $4.99. And it is worth playing. It is still worth playing. It's a great first person shooter.
I love when shit like this happens when we're recording. All right, my number 6, Master Chief, Halo.
Absolutely.
That's my dude, bro. And I mean, that was multiplayer game, but for the single player aspect, back in the days when Bungie was lit, son, when Bungie was lit and they couldn't be touched and everything was great and grand, Master Chief was just classic, you know. Oh, man, I can't even.
He's that sci-fi hero, man. He's like, yeah, bulked he just up is. Just...
Yeah, it's like you can imagine like a military setup in the future and that would be it, like Master Chief. That's all I can. I mean, I figured out Master Chief is LeBron James, though. But that's a whole nother conversation. Yeah. For a whole nother, like, he's a mutant in there. Like, I didn't, you know,
he really is, dude, man.
But Master Chief stuck with me to the point, like, this past Halloween, I rarely go out, but I was at the club and I was like, it was all kinds of women in there, all kinds of fly shit and Egyptians. And the one thing I had to record for Halloween was this motherfucker in the Master Chief suit. I was like, yeah, man, yeah. You're right. That's dope. Master Chief lives on. So yeah, that's one of those games I don't even have to talk about. I don't know anybody that of this era doesn't know about Halo. So of course he's on my list.
And especially Master Chief, he's become iconic these days, as far as just representative of Microsoft, not just Halo, Microsoft itself. Speaking of that, by the way, I was playing Killzone 2 last night with my wife. And I recognized that Halo influenced Killzone, and then Killzone went around and influenced Destiny. Destiny took a lot of stuff from that Killzone game. A lot of stuff. Kind of fascinating how that cycle just revolves, doesn't it?
It is, man. And I think Killzone was a bit of a slept-on game, man. Killzone was a really fun first-person shooter.
Agreed.
Challenging. Killzone was hard as shit sometimes, in some play spaces. But yeah, I enjoyed the fuck out of Killzone. That was a good run through. Great way to tie those together there, buddy.
Yes, sir. My number six is none other than Carl C.J. Johnson from GTA San Andreas. One of my favorite characters of all time. A very complicated character. Very complicated character. That's the most interesting part about C.J. is they really gave humanity to him. He wasn't just a stereotype in the GTA universe, like you were playing. Now, the way you played the game, you could kill everybody if you wanted to. It didn't matter. But those cutscenes made him a real fleshed out character. And he had a great backstory. He had a great arc in those games. And it was just a blast, man. GTA San Andreas was one of the best games of all time. And Rockstar will come up again soon. But Rockstar does a great job with their characters, man. They always do. And they made San Andreas so much better because of CJ. And CJ will always go down as one of my favorite protagonists of all time. He's a great, great protagonist.
Man, great choice, bro. I'm so glad that you got out of the way. And you're right, Rockstar is going to come up sooner than you probably even think. Because my next character is actually John Marston. Oh. I'm sure he's on your list.
He's number five. That's crazy. He's next.
Yeah, that's crazy. But I'm so glad you brought up CJ, man. Because that's a dope choice. And especially from your perspective. And just to touch it, again, I haven't said it probably in a while or whatever. Maybe I will always speak on it, man. I love the idea of different people playing in the same playground and being able to get along and learn from one another, enjoy it. So it's really cool that you liked CJ and how he could get big if you ate burgers.
That was my favorite part.
I know it.
I go in there and make him fat as hell, and then I go ride my bike around town to make him lose all that weight.
But to go ahead and get into John Marston, man, you know, we might be able to just go back and forth a little bit on it, but John Marston,
he's my number five, dude.
Oh, he's great. I guess we both on all point. We the same level on number five, like John Marston, and even all the way down to the twist at the end of Red Dead Redemption.
Heartbreaking twist. Just a heartbreaking twist. Because you realize he's doing this to get out of his life. He wants to get out of his former life. And then not only does he get betrayed originally by his former partners, then he gets betrayed by the lawmen who are giving him the opportunity to get out of this life. I mean,
and any man that's lived any life knows the feeling of betrayal. And I mean, they do that well in the Grand Theft Auto series as well. If you really look at it, it's a formula to it. So they, to me, do a great job with the protagonist as well as the villains generally. But I think they do a better job with having that dichotomy. I always talk about it, and I love that with their protagonist. You know, it's not always the villain. It's the villain inside. You're trying to outrun that person, and you end up doing a great deed. So John Marston was my number five as well.
Yeah, I mean, I think with John Marston, where you really get the, and I know a lot of people, because you get that conversation when you're writing with different folks, that you get the idea of his personality. But I think where they really do a successful job with John Marston is fleshing him out. And the reason I'm talking about his length is I just recently beat the original Red Dead Redemption. But you get more fleshing out when he comes back to the farm before that twist ending happens. And you get to see him interacting with his wife. You get to see him interacting with his son. You get to see him interacting with Uncle, who's just that lazy old bastard on the farm. But it's fun, man. It's not just fun. It's very deep, and it's very, when the twist ending happens, I forgot how much it actually hurt to watch and how shocked I was the first time that I played that game of just what occurred and everything I'd just been through. But you get that sweet, sweet revenge, and that is a beautiful thing, man. That is a beautiful thing. Sir. What is your number four?
Number four, man, is Dante from the Devil May Cry series. You gonna hear me talk about him? That's my motherfucking dude. Not the emo one.
Yeah.
Not emo Dante. White hair like Geralt Dante. Some about that half demon motherfucker, man. He just cool. He's just, it's just that over the top crazy insanity that he's going up against with sheer confidence, and he doesn't care because he just knows how dope he is. He knows how powerful he is. And it's just the being able to switch between the sword play and the gun play. Talk about it all the time. Everything in the Ivory. It's just a dope-ass game. He's a dope-ass hero. Anytime you're dealing with a half-demon hero, man, it's, I don't know. He's just my favorite, bro. I could always go back to that. Like, I still wish and hope for a new one to come out that's solid where, you know, they just keep the series going properly, man. So Dante from the Devil May Cry series every time.
Dante is a fascinating character too, man. It's just very, very complex and everything he's dealing with. And they're great gunplay, dude. The ebony and ivory stuff like you were talking about, just fantastic.
And I mean, Marvel versus Capcom. We had a list probably, if it's not out now, whatever, when we do the crossovers. He's one of my favorite players on Marvel versus Capcom fighters. He's just souped up to me, man. So yeah, Dante is crazy.
All right, my number four. Getting into it, dude. Love this series. It's one of my favorite of all time. Solid Snake from Metal Gear Solid. Solid Snake from Metal Gear Solid. I forgot how fun of a character he was until I replayed the first one. Made me actually end up not only getting a PlayStation 3, but ended up buying the Metal Gear Solid collection for PlayStation 3 so I could go back and play all of them. Solid Snake is not just a blast to play with. I mean, he's an 80s action hero come to life. He is an 80s action hero come to life. He's got smart one-liners. He's intelligent. He's strong. He's fast. He's quick-witted. He's enhanced through genetic programming. But also, on top of that, man, he hits on every lady in that game. Every lady in that game. Everyone he talks about taking to bed, man. And that is a classic 80s action trope. And, you know, at the end of the day, he has a very complicated backstory. With him being a clone, not understanding his own genetics, not understanding his own background, having a ticking time bomb of a virus into him, inside of him, called Fox Die. And it's just, it's a blast, man. Playing a Solid Snake, one of the best experiences. Playing 1 through 4, 1 through 4 to me are 4 of the greatest games of all time. It's one of the greatest series of all time. Solid Snake, there's not much more I can say about him. He is just an amazing protagonist with a great story.
Great choice, man. As usual.
Great choice. What's your number three?
Number three, Commander Shepard.
Male or female Shepard?
Male.
There you go.
Yeah, males. Commander Todd Shepard, man.
Commander Todd Shepard.
Anybody that loves Mass Effect or plays Mass Effect, you already know what time it is. You know Shepard can't be beat, especially now. Like I would hope that they were able to find a character in the near future, and maybe they can save the series. But if not, we were at least blessed to have the Shepherd. And just the many different ways that story could be told. I will and have referenced this game, you know, several times. As far as action RPG, I love that damn game.
that's really one of my all-time favorite experiences. So he's going to be one of my all-time favorite protagonists. And my guy looked like me. Like, he was dope. He was real dope. He was fire. He got some pussy. It was real cool. I always liked it. Everything was fine. He got some digital pussy, which was great. Commander Shepard, he's that guy, even on Killrex.
Those are games I still need to play. We've talked about this.
Bro.
I still need to go back. They're on Microsoft Xbox Pass.
Man, bro, you already cursed because of Battlefront. We're not going to get into that right now. And how's your Vegas? How's your hockey team doing?
Vegas is all right, man. They're doing all right.
All right. They're still holding up. Okay, cool.
Yeah, I mean, right now they're coming up, and I know Big Willie's a fan, but they're facing off against the Nashville Preds, the Predators. So, you know, that's a dangerous lineup, dude. That's a dangerous lineup just because Predators are so freaking good. Just so good. So we're going to see, though. We're going to see. So far, so good. So far, so good. I'm hoping that the Stanley Cup is going to be Vegas versus Washington. I really do.
And I hope that your curse doesn't fuck with your team because you didn't play Battlefront 2.
It will.
Or Mass Effect series at all, especially Mass Effect, because I know you and it'll change your life. Well, go ahead.
All right. That's it. That's my next classic game I'm going to play. As soon as I'm finished with Ultima 4, I'm going to play that game.
Yeah, you're tripping.
I'm almost done with Ultima 4. I'm almost done with it. My number three is Link from Legend of Zelda. Legend of Zelda has been a long time staple for me, as it has for a lot of people, and for good reason. It's a classic game series. It's got great dungeons. It's got great exploration. It's got a great system of dialogue and exchange, and you are the silent protagonist. However, you also suffer quite a bit in this game. And the different storylines you suffer, whether it's in Ocarina of Time, of having to go back and forth through time and seeing the world decimated by Ganon, or if you turn around and play, Twilight Princess, dealing with all the Fable information and the wolves and the transformation. I mean, it's just one of the best heroes of all time. You know, he's an eternal hero. They've said that these timelines are completely different. These are different links through different times. The same story keeps repeating itself, but he becomes the eternal hero. And, you know, he's classic representation of not just Nintendo, but for me, fantasy. It's a great fantasy world where you can apply your own stories to it. That is my number three. What is your number two?
Good choice again, man. But my number two, Bayek from Assassin's Creed Origins, man. We talked about this before back in that Assassin's Creed Origins review. He's one of my favorite protagonists, period. I just appreciate what Ubisoft did with releasing that type of character. And just the idea in that game that you don't even have to fight in that game. It could just be used as a tour of Egypt. So for them to have a character like that, that seemed like he was, you know, it just seemed responsible for the culture. You know, he was cool. He's just a cool character, one of my personal favorites, because he actually looks like he's from Egypt. And it was dope. You know what I mean? Like,
absolutely.
You played Assassin's Creed, man. He's just one of those characters. He has that revenge story with his son, the relationship with him and his wife, and just the whole idea of how the whole Assassin's Creed series started. So he rapidly creeped up my list as one of my favorite protagonists, one of my favorite heroes, one of the true definitions of heroes, and how it can be kind of ugly to get to that point, to be looked at as a hero with all, you know, with just a righteous perspective of where he came from. So Bayek from Assassin's Creed Origins, that's my dude, bro, for real.
Fantastic choice. One of the best Assassin's Creed characters ever. Just really
him and Ezio.
Him and Ezio.
You know what I'm saying? Ezio would have been on the list, but I couldn't have two Assassin's Creed players, and Bayek just got up on the list, so Bayek is my dude. But Ezio was that motherfucker too, though. For real. Yeah.
My thing about Bayek, though, is where he takes over Ezio for me is his story is so much more emotional and so much more complete and complicated. And just the things that he has to go through with his kid, with his wife, with everybody in that game that he interacts with, it makes absolute sense. Love Bayek.
All heroes have to make great sacrifices, so, you know, there
absolutely.
We go.
My number two is Booker DeWitt from BioShock Infinite. Booker DeWitt from BioShock Infinite.
Great,
I love Bioshock Infinite. I love this story. I love this character. I love the twist at the end of the game. It's unfortunate that the only thing I didn't like about Bioshock Infinite was the combat. Everything else about Bioshock Infinite, I freaking love so much.
It's funny how polarizing that game is, though, isn't it? Within that series.
It is.
It's kind of interesting how that works. Like, I'm not that big of a fan of Bioshock Infinite, but I respect the fuck out of you enjoying it. I'm still more of an original Bioshock fan, but I can't knock your choice in the least. Like, he is a great hero, man.
Yeah, I mean, for me, he's my favorite. Bioshock Infinite has my favorite story and my favorite character out of the Bioshock series. As far as combat goes, Bioshock 1 and 2 are just miles and years beyond Bioshock Infinite. They just really are. They're just better combat games. They're just more fun, more amazing. And they got Big Daddies, which were way better than the Iron Patriots. I'm sorry, Big Daddies will always be my favorite representation of Bioshock. However, Book of DeWitt has the most interesting, paradoxical story of any character I've ever seen in a game. And there's so much philosophy in that game. There is so much philosophy. There's so much politics in that game. There's so much ideas of rebellion and timelines. And I loved when timelines intercede with each other. If you haven't seen it, there's a great movie out with old dude from the 80s. It's called Predestination. And Predestination is a great sci-fi story that very much is similar to Booker's story from Bioshock Infinite. I highly recommend it. One of my favorite protagonists ever. Such a complicated character. Him and Elizabeth, just very complicated. That's my number two. What's your number one?
I mean, I'm sure you can guess. Anybody that's been listening to the show at all, they already know. And it's pretty obvious. It'll be kind of hypocritical in spite of our little rant about Mario earlier. Like, he's not really a hero. So how in the fuck can my number one, Kratos, be a hero when he's killed all the motherfucking gods? All of them. But
guess what my number one is? My number one's Kratos. My number one is Kratos, dude.
Well, I mean, can we just talk about it then real quick?
Like, we can talk about it.
Why do you feel Kratos is the best hero overall, man? What's yours? What's
he's your favorite? Perfect trajectory. He's got the perfect he starts out as an anti-hero and he works his way to becoming the hero. And it's amazing. It's so good. It's such a good series of games. And just, they took a character who they could have easily pigeonholed into one singular element, but they didn't. They made him complicated. They made him real. They fleshed him out, and they made him actually very interesting. Everything about Kratos.
They pulled it all the way together with the last game, too. That's what happened. That's what happened. They gave him those layers. They made him, you know. I know you see all the pictures and the memes and shit with Kratos smiling with Atreus. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And if you just go back through the history of it, you would never see that. It's just, you're right. It's the story arc. He's gone to hell a bunch of times and come back, man. All hero stories kind of go along with that. And it's just something about the idea that he kills all the gods. It's just something about that. A character that has killed the gods.
And the gods his perspective and the is. Titans and Zeus and everybody and Baldur.
just everybody. Everybody. And he's still ready to kill. And even though some fucked up shit happens, like when you kill a Valkyries, it's kind of fucked up, but he's trying to release them. And it's the constant battle, I think, for him to stay ahead. Like, he's done horrible things, but it's always because he's trying to do right and trying to win that race.
Yes. That impossible race,
never giving up and just, you know, channeling that rage in order to ultimately he's trying to do what's right. Yeah, even though he killed 3 million people.
He's trying to make up for his past. He's trying to make up for being tricked by Ares. He's trying to, because he still feels guilty for that. He still feels that guilt. And they talk about that. I mean, in the new God of War, there's those little moments of dialogue where Atreus goes, yeah, but if you kill the people, the bad people, for right reasons, doesn't that make you right? And you get that little response from Kratos where he says, it's complicated, boy. And it's perfect because he's a very complex character. And you can feel where he's coming from. He may not always be right, but you can feel where he's coming from. And that's what makes him so good. And as a huge fan of people like characters like Hellboy and characters like Spawn and just those anti-hero hero characters, you know, Kratos.
I just finished watching Hellboy too. My fault. I just love Golden Army.
It's so good. It's so good. I'd love to see Hellboy get a real game, like an actual game these days.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. Hell yeah. His animes are good too.
Yeah, they are. Blood and Stone and the other one. Yeah, yeah. Those are really good, man. But like, those characters are always attracted to me because they're technically monsters, but they're not. They're not monsters. They're more complex. It's like Frankenstein. People think that Frankenstein's monster is a monster, but he's not. He's a tragic hero. He's the classic Shakespearean tragedy, and that's who Kratos is.
Yep, exactly. Exactly. Like, on a grander scale. And I just think we focus so much, like, religion has such a huge grip on overall society and culture in general, and even in the background, even in the video game industry, it touches all aspects. I mean, the guy we trust is in the money that we spend in America. So the idea of that character just, it warms my heart and forever will. Santa Monica Studios, man, that's just a masterpiece, man. So you got to give him respect. Kratos is dope. Keep it coming. You know, keep it coming. We're trying to go to Asgard.
Yeah, let's go do this, man. They said they got 4 more games in the series. They said they got 4 more games. I can't wait to see where they go with this.
Fucking beautiful.
It is, man. But that's been this week's edition of Skip the Tutorial, where me and Todd both said number one was Kratos. Number one hero of all time was Kratos. If you agree or disagree with our opinions, let us know at skipthetutorialpodcast@gmail.com. You can also find us at facebook.com/skipthetutorialpodcast, on Instagram at skipthetutorialpod, or on Twitter at stt_pod. And as we always say before we sign off, stay humble.
Appreciate and love you people, man.
I am the God of War.